So, do you ever worry that you're not a sensitive man?
No, I'm a very sensitive man.
Are you?
I'm always crying.
Really? Because you're pretty stone-faced when you're around me.
Only when I'm alone. I don't want anybody to know that I'm such a sensitive man.
Really?
Yeah, I hide it. I put up a strong stoic face, but
Strong.
okay, stoic. Give me
Okay.
that, all right.
I'll give you stoic.
But every time I leave the room, I'll go cry in the bathroom.
Every single time? You've used my bathroom for crying?
I've used every bathroom for crying.
Do you ask permission ahead of time?
Well, I asked to use the restroom, I just don't specify what for.
You really should.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's
Does it
all.
matter where the liquids are coming out of my body when I'm in the restroom?
Yeah. It's only polite. If you're going to be using the restroom for something non-traditional, you should tell the person who, has to clean the restroom what you're going to be using the restroom for.
Well, I get all my tears into the toilet. Like I'm a profession. I've been doing this all my
Are
life.
you sure? Because I'm assuming you're fairly emotional when this is happening, and I doubt that you're particularly precise when that's going on.
I won't say that I've never left a tear mess in a
Oh
bathroom,
my
but
God, is
most of the
that a tear I
time,
see right now?
nope. Nope. I'm stoic. I'm strong. I'm not crying.
Strong.
Stoic. I'm stoic.
Hi, I'm Philip.
Hi,
First, we'll
Matt.
have a little chat.
Then put on our ring rubbers.
Now it's time for Next At Bat!
You're listening to Next At Bat, a podcast devoted primarily to improvisation, where Philip Simondette, the creator of the podcast, and myself, Matt McLeod, the host, interview and then perform with local Minneapolis and St. Paul-based improvisers and other artists. Improvisation is the art of making stuff up. Nothing is scripted. Nothing in improv has been performed before or will be performed again. Short-form improv is game-based and has been popularized by shows like Whose Line Is It Anyway? Long-form improv is story-based, like a play without a script, and this is the type of improv we will perform on this show. After a short interview, our guests will join us for our version of what is known as the Bat, a forum created by Joe Bill, co-founder of the Annoyance Theater. Traditionally, the Bat is a specific form that is performed in front of a live audience, but with the lights out, to simulate a radio broadcast. There will be several scenes in our Bat, with little or no indication of a new scene occurring, though sound effects and human-made music are often used. Without further ado, let me present Next at Bat with Matt and Philip.
We're here today with Sensitive Men. Sensitive Men, would you care to introduce yourselves?
I'm Mike Dalaval.
I'm Andy Katzong.
I'm Peter Butler.
And I'm here as always with.
Philip Simondette.
That's right. Thanks, Philip.
Yay. And you're Matt
Yay.
I am Matt McLeod. Thanks. So guys, you got your start as a group back in October, is that right?
That is correct.
Yes. October of 2012.
My goodness.
Yeah.
For future listeners.
So, after you got your start, did the world actually end?
It did, but it didn't. The ending didn't last long.
Well, after Obama got elected, I thought that would be the
I
end,
thought the
but
bottom just kind of dropped out, but
yeah.
it didn't end.
We survived.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, do you actually credit yourselves with saving the world?
Andy usually takes all the credit for that. I just kind of follow along. In fact, today I just a little side note. I didn't know his name was pronounced Katsung.
You didn't?
I did not. I thought it
Really?
was Katsung for some reason.
Katsing?
I thought it was way it sounded cooler.
Yeah, it does sound cooler. Maybe I'll change it.
Talk about hard to pronounce last names.
I know, that's
Yes.
true.
Dally Valley.
Yes.
Dalaval.
I did think you were Dalla Valley for a long time.
Yeah. Well, it's not the worst I've heard, so I can deal with that.
So guys, since you got started, you have actually played several gigs, right? You've had many shows.
Yeah, I mean, we did what, the Improvathon was the first one.
Right.
Yep.
We had a showcase, a Thursday night showcase. Remember for
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
forgot about that one.
Yeah.
I remembered it. I don't know how, but and then we played a couple months in January and February on Wednesday nights.
So it sounds like 10
Huge.
shows.
Was it 8 weeks?
Yeah,
10
yeah.
shows per total.
Well, that's quite a few for,
Yeah.
I mean, just kind of having started. That's
Yeah.
great.
Yeah.
What started the group? What was the impetus for starting the group?
Mike.
Mike.
Yeah, I guess I'll take this then.
Sure.
Okay, I was just I've taken a ton of classes and I wanted to take it to the next step here. And so Peter and I work at Jester's together, and I really think he's a great improviser. So we were at a little party, and I said, "Hey, you thought about a group?" And he mentioned he knew Andy just from high school, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I thought, Andy, and I thought Andy's a great improviser, so I thought that's an interesting combo. Mm-hmm. And asked them, and they both said yes. I was very happy to hear that, and here we are. So mm-hmm. it's all worked out pretty well.
And so when you guys originally got together, did you have anything specific in mind?
Yeah, I don't think we had anything in mind as far as form or, you know, how it was going to be structured. I guess that is a form. Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it, and then we had a coach, Jim DeSimone, who said, just do a montage. Okay. So
yeah,
that's kind of what we did. We had a Jazz Freddy opening and
start
off with. But
yeah, it was really just... We kind of flew by the seat of our pants for a little bit, and then did we bring in Jim right away, or did we get together first? I don't remember.
I think we
brought him in pretty quickly. Yeah, because we were playing for the Improvathon, we were practicing for that.
Sure.
And yeah, Jim, I took classes with Jim. Highly recommend him, by the way. Jim DeSimone, he's awesome, but he's harsh. If you can deal with being laughed at for bad improv, he's a great guy. Mm-hmm. But helped us get a form together because we really didn't know exactly where we wanted to go. We just thought montage, and he had some really good ideas to incorporate. So like the Jazz Freddy opening was one, and also we do kind of a strange edit in the middle where we repeat a line and then move on mm-hmm. to the next thing. It's worked out really well.
Can you talk about the Jazz Freddy opening? Like what do you guys specifically do?
The Jazz Freddy is you start with a scene in the present with two people, and then one person gets tagged out. The person that stays in is the same character, but the new scene takes place in the past, and then one person gets tagged out. The new scene takes place farther back, and then one person gets tagged out. So it's one person staying the whole time, mm-hmm. playing the same character. Mm-hmm. Present, past, and then the final scene is future.
In the future.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. And so it gives you something to kind of hold on to at the beginning, and then you mm-hmm. kind of branch from there. Is that kind of the
idea? Yeah, well, actually, this last month we've gone to a single person. we dropped it for Jazz Freddy.
Yeah, the idea.
Oh, you did.
We're just,
okay.
Telling true stories based on the word of suggestion.
Yeah.
So not necessarily a rant, but...
Exactly. Yeah, the Jazz Freddy, the idea for us was to get the energy up. And and when we were doing warm-ups, they were great. We would have these great scenes, and it's, okay, perfect, let's do it. Then we go out, and not always, but there were a couple times I think it just wasn't flowing, and it kind of put the show off to kind of a slow start. And mm-hmm. so we changed it up, and that's what Peter was talking about. We started with doing more of a rant, mm-hmm. and that seems to have served us very well. In the last mm-hmm. few times we've performed, it's a lot of fun. Gets that energy going right away. It gives us a lot of things to play off of. So, yeah.
More of a connection with the audience because you're looking out to them and telling them your story.
Yeah. Stepping out and giving them a little bit of truth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that, being that you guys formed and the Improvathon was right around the corner, and this mm-hmm. is the Improvathon mm-hmm. at Huge Theater, it was in November on the
12th?
12th? Something I was going like to say the 11th, but I can't remember exactly. Yeah. So it was really within a month of when you guys mm-hmm. formed or so, right around there, right?
Yeah.
It's a pretty big debut. So did you guys put a lot of pressure on yourself for that show, or were you going into it pretty loose and easy?
No, we knew most of the audience members were going to be sleep deprived.
We went out at noon, I think, the next
noon
day.
Noon the next day. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we were hoping they'd be a little bit drunk with no sleep. I don't think we felt a whole lot of pressure that first gig. And It was pretty loose, and it was actually surprisingly loose, and we had a lot of fun with it, uh-huh. and we went on a good time, and the crowd was pretty big and very responsive. It was a lot of fun,
mm-hmm.
and I think we had some great groups around us too for mm-hmm. before us and after us, and so the energy was very high the whole mm-hmm. time, which helped a lot.
And we saw a videotape of it. We didn't think it was as bad as we had thought afterwards.
That wasn't great. But yeah,
that's a problem with improv. You can't judge your own work.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I think it's
we're our own harshest critics anyway. So, as most cases, I imagine. So
I think so. So far, like, are there any shows that stand out to you that have been particularly memorable for some reason?
Well, I think our last two shows are really our strongest, and I think it just reflects it took us a while to kind of find our place. We started out trying to be serious scene people, and then at the end, I think we're just being goofy. Yeah. See where the scene goes. It doesn't have to make sense. So I think our last two sets were probably the best. We had one where Mike was the Pope.
That was ridiculous. Yeah, I think
what I remember.
I think one thing that I've liked all along with our group, and I agree, the last two sets were definitely our best. I think they were most playful, where, like I said, it didn't become about just. It didn't. Some of our scenes would be about stuff instead of each other. I think, and get lost. I think in those last two sets, we really connected a lot in our scenes, and some of the scenes I think that were fun, especially in the last couple. For some reason Andy and I always end up in these weird silent scenes.
Some kind of like physical comedy.
It just goes
bizarro things.
Yeah, and they're completely fun. It's one of those. Or sometimes you're doing it and you're wondering, okay, are they enjoying this as much as we are? Are the audience enjoying this? But then you kind of just don't care.
Yeah, because it cares? Is fun. I'm having fun.
Yeah, yeah. And then it turns out that when you get done, that's the thing that I think a lot of people came up and said, that was awesome. And it's fun because I think a lot of groups are afraid of silence. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we're incorporating quite a bit of it, and it's not that kind of silence where I don't know what to say. It's actually, let's just see what happens here. And it's always turned out very well.
Yeah, it seems to work for whatever reason.
I don't know why.
Another great example was the colonoscopy scene.
We did a colonoscopy scene.
Could have gone really bad.
Well, yeah, when you hear that.
Just like a colonoscopy.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
The audience loved it because we just took a different track where Mike was the silent patient and didn't scream or anything. And
I don't know if you know this, Peter, and I don't know, maybe you weren't aware of this. This might be a little side note here, but Peter was doing all these hilarious things, and they were pointing stuff out on a fake camera, just doing these great things. I was making faces out in the audience, and I don't think you got to see the faces making.
I did not.
Because you were doing all these weird things, and I was silent, but I was obviously in pain. So it was actually...
Oh, crap. I thought they were laughing at me.
No, they were. They were. No. By the way, yes, that scene was all about me. I was the funny one. No, it was like you guys just kept piling on. It was totally fun. So, but I just kept silent.
That was a great scene where we just trusted each other and nobody tried to force the scene in one direction or make it a cliche or something. And the audience erupted with laughter.
Thank God.
So what do you think the trick is? Like, I know all three of you guys a little bit. Like, I've been on stage with Andy and Peter, and I've auditioned with you, Mike.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been around you guys a bit. And you guys are all great. And so, like, to think of it taking you guys 8 shows before you feel like you really got past the stuff and got into the real listening, like, it's amazing to me. Like, why do you think it is so easy to fall into these, you know, kind of tricky patterns, and it takes so long for improvisers to kind of trust and really listen? What do you think that is?
I noticed that, and I do this, and other people do that, is... They're not willing to take that next step in the scene. So a great example is always when someone pulls out a gun and says, I'm going to shoot you, and then they never do it.
Because
they realize if I do that, then what's next in the scene? And I think we had some of those, too. Someone just doesn't want to take that next step into the scene, and that's just something you have to get over with somehow. I don't know how you would, other than just not trying to plan ahead or think through the scene other than the immediate point you're at, and you have to do something rather than, if I do this, where is it going to go? I don't know. So,
I think for myself, it's a matter of not trusting myself and maybe getting caught up in not so much the scene, but listening, maybe getting caught up with the audience. Oh my God, they're not laughing.
Yeah.
Oh no. And then all of a sudden I get in my head and I start pushing. Yeah. And it's why am I pushing to be funny? Because it's not going to be funny. If you push to be funny, your chances are it's not going to be funny. And even if you are, the scene's probably not going anywhere because of it. So I think when we had a couple shows in a row, and I think it was right after we took a little bit of a little break. We had to take a break 1 week. We came back and we had a couple shows that we, one of them we got done and we looked at each other like, what the fuck happened? I swear.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. But
oh, shit, we canceled.
Yeah, but it really was. It was just what happened, and we got back and we talked about it. And I think that's one thing that's very nice about our group is we got done and we're saying, okay, we know what happened. How can we go? How can we fix that? And yeah. We got to rehearsal, and we do rehearsals. Maybe we don't really do montages when we rehearse. We do two-man scenes, just constant two-man scenes, and we have a third person side coaching. And I think that's one thing that we built is a very good trust with each other. Other than, yeah, we think I think they're great improvisers, but that doesn't mean that I couldn't provide some feedback to them. And likewise on all of us, because I trust what they're going to say. Like, hey, Mike, you're focusing on the basket or something. Oh, okay, thank you, and you can move on. And so I think the fact that we've built that trust over time, it's made us a lot stronger.
Do you think that some of that came out of the work with Jim DeSimone, like at the beginning? Do you think that...
Jim was at the beginning, so it was... I think we're still trying to figure out what we were more than anything.
He pointed out some very obvious and not very productive traits in terms of there's always one person in control of the scene, a lot of like pointing, a lot of just standing there not doing anything while you're talking, so that was very helpful to identify some of the patterns we were doing that weren't conducive to good scenes.
Yeah, I think in the beginning we were ending up kind of butting heads from time to time, or you know, one person had an idea and it was, you know, it ended up sort of being like, well, this is what the scene is about. No, this is what the scene is about.
Yeah,
so definitely. There was a little bit of that. So Jim was helpful to kind of at least point that out, that, you know, that's happening and that's not good for the scene. One person needs to kind of be more of a follower, I think. And that's, I think that's kind of where I'm starting to come to as far as technique with improv, is that, you know, realizing that one person is more of a driver in the scene. Both people in the scene are obviously contributing equally, but one tends to be more of a driver and one is more of a passenger. But they each sort of have their own role. And as long as they can agree on who is who within the scene, then there's less conflict and it can move forward lot easier.
Do you think who's the driver can change at given moments?
Yeah, it can definitely switch at any time.
I think it's most important at the top of the scene, which is sometimes our scenes had a little trouble getting going because one person would jump out, another person would just jump out too without really knowing what the other person was doing or getting a sense of where they were, and then it just became confusing. So we've sort of worked on, that's another one of our exercises, just starting a scene, not necessarily taking the scene beyond more than 15 or 20 seconds, but just say, you know, let's work on getting a great start to the scene.
I think it's important, especially in those first 15 seconds, we should have enough information out there that we can move forward. And I think when we were, like you said, we were very tentative sometimes, feeling each other out, just throwing things out there and hoping something sticks. And then we just would kind of look at each other like, okay, you know, and then we wouldn't cut each other. This scene's going nowhere. Yeah. Oh, maybe it will. Yeah. Maybe it'll go.
Something really good is going to happen.
Let's just give it another 4 minutes.
I know something's going to happen.
I have no idea what, if I cut the scene, I've got to start another.
Right, yeah.
Or they have no idea.
Oh, this scene sucks. I've got a third person entrance in. Yeah. Oh, it's great. Now we have three people sucking.
I know. I'll fix it.
right. It happens. But it's, you know, I think we've gotten away from that, which is great. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, you guys want to try to fuck up some improv, just the five of us?
I would love to.
Sure.
Yeah, we can do that.
Be very easy.
All right. So we're going live? We're going live now.
In 2 minutes, sir.
I'm not ready for this. This is
no,
not...
Jared, you're ready for this. You've been practicing.
You really think so? You really think I'm ready for this?
The big shots upstairs wouldn't have okayed this telethon debut.
The big shots okayed Tony. They were fine with Tony. Tony's terrible at what he does.
Tony didn't practice the way that you did, Jared.
Jared Culpepper, you son of a bitch. You're gonna crash and burn, you douche.
Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him, Jared. You can do this.
All I do, that's the only voice I hear in my head right now. That's all I can hear is how I'm gonna fail.
1 minute, gentlemen.
1 minute? Jesus!
Listen to my voice, Jared. I believe in you.
Jared, do you remember in kindergarten when you pissed yourself when asked to recite the alphabet?
God, I'm gonna piss myself. No. I'm gonna piss myself. It's gonna happen. I'm gonna go live in front of the world and I'm gonna piss myself.
30 seconds, gentlemen.
Oh my God, it's starting.
It's okay. They're gonna just, you can do it. Ready?
Okay. I'm as raised as I'm ever gonna be. I mean, yeah, let's do this.
Jared, as your inner awesome, I'm highly disappointed in you.
Shut up, inner awesome. Shut up.
5, 4, good luck, 3, good luck. 2, 1.
Chick ass.
Max, wake up. Max, wake up. Max, it's time to go to Valley Fair.
Valley Fair! It's only 8 o'clock. It doesn't open for 2 hours.
You need to get in line. It's a big day at Valley Fair.
I'm excited for Valley Fair. I'm so excited. I'm excited to spend the day with you, Pete. I'm excited.
You should be excited. It's a special day.
I told you I am excited. What more do you need to hear from me?
Welcome to Valley Fair, boys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Two, please.
Yeah, it's $12 a piece, $24.
Oh, I got it.
People are waiting behind you if you want to just pay.
Sorry.
Hey, dicks. Are you going to pay for it or what?
Hey.
I'm pulling on my billfolds. It's a special day.
It is a special day.
Every day is special here at Valley Fair.
We're celebrating special. 6 years of friendship.
Hurry up!
All right, now we're good.
6 years of friendship.
Come on!
6 years, 6 glorious years.
Here's your change. You can go back in. There you go.
Oh, wait. Are you guys going to sing? If you're going to sing, I'll wait.
Pete, 6 years together. Man. We flock like birds of a feather. Oh, Pete.
You guys can go in now.
That's what he does.
Go ahead. Next,
hey,
you please.
You were going to play banjo, but I didn't bring it.
Next. Step
okay,
up to
we'll
the ticket
go.
Counter.
Go in.
6 years together. Pete.
That's what I would be playing on a banjo, but I didn't bring my banjo.
I don't know why you didn't bring the banjo. People are so happy when you bring the banjo.
I'm sorry, boys. You have to be 6 feet to ride on the twisty, turvy coaster.
I'm sorry, boys. If you want a funnel cake, you have to be at least 6 feet tall.
I'm sorry, boys, but to get into the show, you have to be approximately 6 feet tall.
I'm sorry, boys, but if you want to use this restroom, you gotta be 6 feet tall.
Hey there, little boys. You want to go on the twisty, turly quips, you gotta be at least 6 feet.
This is supposed to be a special day, Pete.
Sorry, boys, but if you want a hamburger, you gotta be at least 6 feet tall.
Sorry, boys.
Sorry, boys.
Sorry, boys.
Gee, I'm so hungry.
Sorry, boys.
Sorry, boys. Talk to me, Pete.
Sorry, boys, but if you want to leave, you have to be at least 6 feet tall.
It's a special day.
Very special.
Well, I'm not sure what kind of Girl Scout cuckoos I'd like to order this year.
Well, we have raspberry and tutti frutti, and we got vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you sound so angry about selling your cookies?
That's part of my sales pitch. It's to make them sound really important.
I'll take 6 boxes of the tutti frutti.
What?
Tutti Frutti, the good cookie!
Make it 9 boxes!
Here you go, 9
Mr.
Boxes.
Mega Bucks over there buying 9 boxes. I can only buy 1 box a year, so I gotta choose carefully here. Could you list the 3 types that you just...
We got Tutti Frutti!
Tutti Frutti.
We got raspberry!
Raspberry.
And we got vanilla!
No chocolate this year, huh?
And by the way, 1 box isn't going to last you a whole year. There's only 30 cookies in there. You can't make it last a whole year.
Dozen boxes of chocolate cookies for me.
We don't have chocolate this year.
Oh!
We just got Tutti Frutti, and we got raspberry, and we got vanilla.
Look, Jill, there's no chocolate cookies this year. None at all. So I really need you to push the vanilla and the raspberry and the tutti frutti.
I'll push them. I'll push pushed him like I pushed my grandmother in that wheelchair when she fell down the stairs.
So no chocolate cookies, you say?
That's right. But we got really good vanilla, and we got raspberry, and we got tutti frutti.
Give me your whole inventory. Wow, what do you do? You are amazing.
I'm a Girl Scout.
It's so dark.
Yeah.
Well, the switch is up here. Just
let your eyes will adjust. It'll be nice. Yeah, just give it some time, guys.
My eyes are starting to adjust.
No,
yeah, they're starting
to adjust. The switch is right around here somewhere.
No, come on, guys. It's all natural.
I think I feel something on my leg.
That's me.
Oh.
Ricky. Hey, you know.
Rick. You're such a trickster,
Rick.
You
said you'd like affection, so I'm here to provide it for you.
Well, that's good. And it's good to start on a leg, because that's not offensive.
Not at all.
I'm not offended. I just got nervous, that's all.
I found the switch, but it doesn't work.
Click, wait,
what?
Click,
what?
Click,
click,
huh?
Click, click.
What was that?
I heard something. Don't mind if I grab your leg, do you?
No, okay. Please.
Now I'm grabbing your leg.
That feels pretty good.
No, all right, this is just a trick.
It feels safe.
Jimmy's trying to scare us. Jimmy!
Come on,
Let's
Jimmy.
Turn around.
It's not
Jimmy,
funny.
Jimmy, where are you, Jimmy?
It's Hello? Not funny.
That's not Jimmy. That's not Jimmy.
No, what guys, was that?
This is the worst game of hide and seek ever, officially.
Do you mind if I grab you around the waist?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'll grab you.
Yeah, hold everybody. Grab each other.
Okay. Hey, that feels... You've got a soft touch.
I'm grabbing somebody, but it doesn't feel right.
Feels...
What does it feel like?
Well, it feels like a grown-up.
Oh, that's me. Oh. That's me. Oh. That's just me grabbing you around your waist.
Are you really tall?
When you tell me, you grab up here.
What?
That's my boob.
So you might need a cough drop?
What are these? Do you guys hear that?
Yeah. Wasn't that you, Ricky?
That wasn't me. I want to say it was me, but it was not me.
Get out.
No, I heard that.
Yeah.
It sounds like
pretty good advice, guys.
You know what, though? I got to be honest with you. I've never really been good with authority figures, and when people tell me what to do, I kind of want to do the opposite.
I hear you.
I'm going to follow you, because you seem to be the smart one here.
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty good advice to get out of here.
Hey, you know what? You're not the boss of me.
You tell him.
You're not my dad.
Yeah, if we don't spend the night in this abandoned house... everybody's going to think we're chicken.
Yeah.
I can't have that. Yeah. I'm sick of being thought of as a chicken.
And you know what? Just because they dared me, I'm staying here.
All right. I didn't dare anyone. I got no obligation.
Do you mind if I grab you around your chest?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I'm getting out.
Hey, that feels pretty good.
How do we get out of here? Where's the door?
What the hell is that? This is getting freaky, man.
You know what? The only thing that makes me madder than somebody telling me what to do is somebody who's laughing at me. So, you know what, you jerk? Why don't you come over here?
Yeah.
Don't encourage him. Don't take it on.
Yeah. Don't take it. Bob's going to take you.
We can't see him. He could be anywhere.
Do you mind if I grab your ears?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Why don't you get out, you jerk?
Don't anger him. Don't anger him.
You tell him, Bob. Got quiet.
Yeah.
You know what? I think he left.
I think he did.
What? That sounds like my grandpa when he sneezes.
Yes.
That just sounds weird.
This is... Shit.
I think there's a monkey in here.
Do you mind if I grab the top of your head?
No, go ahead.
So, this is the... living room. Now let's take a look at the kitchen.
No, I actually want to go back to the living room, and I want to find out what kind of living we will do here. I mean,
well,
with five distinguished gentlemen all moving into the same apartment, I'm very intrigued as to what kind of living we will do.
Well,
excellent question, Edward.
I do have a checkerboard, which can double as a chessboard.
As I recall, Reginald, the last time we played checkers, we nearly came to blows.
Yes.
Excellent, Edward. Yes, good memory. I remember that.
That is because someone was cheating.
Oh. So now you want to bring up old issues.
I'm just stating the facts as I see them.
How uncouth.
It seems as if you are getting a bit uppity.
Well, what kind of living would you propose?
Oh. I'll tell you what kind of living I
There we go, everyone. Don't take that sitting down.
I will take it sitting down. In fact, I will sit down in this leather chair right here. Which I now claim.
Squeaky, claiming squeaky. It right away.
Yes, it is most comfortable. Mm-hmm. I think the type of living that we shall do is by the fireplace, smoking pipes,
way to kill Edward,
and discussing finance.
Yes, there's no cheating there.
May I remind you that the last time that we smoked pipes near the fireplace, we got in a big rue over the best tobacco brands.
You can hardly even speak of it.
I do recall that. However, gentlemen, do you notice something strange about our friend?
Slightly.
He's not wearing a necktie.
What part of England are you from, sir?
Right in the middle.
So from Middlesex?
Certainly.
Middleshire?
Oh, that's what I meant. Yes.
If you would excuse us for a moment while we consult.
That's right. Please turn around and put your headphones on.
I will go stare out the window pensively.
That's happening.
On one hand, he does know the word pensive.
He does indeed. He used it correctly.
He did. On the other hand, his accent does seem quite
middle class.
Something is afoot.
Let's try and ferret him out with some interrogation.
Yes.
But be clever about it.
Did anybody else happen to notice that instead of wearing a three-piece suit and a trench coat, he's wearing a Burton snowboarding jacket?
No. I noticed something unusual, but...
Yes, it is bright blue and electric green. When he turns around, please turn your attention to his attire.
I shall affix my gaze upon any such logo.
Okay.
Yes. I was gazing at the most beautiful shrubbery out of the
door. Jacket.
Pardon me, are you saying something about my jacket?
It just appears that your jacket is not quite British caliber.
Rather, you couldn't wear that to the club, I'm sure.
Might I remind you, gentlemen, that the last time we discussed my clothing, it really hurt my feelings.
Stiff upper lip, old boy.
Yes.
Soldier on.
We need to vet those who are amongst our company.
Right.
It's just rather brightly colored.
It is.
Yes. And we can't help but notice that it only goes just past your waist.
Yes. Very American. American.
And quite youthful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not as old as I claim to be. I'm 23.
So you are not, in fact, 74 years old.
No. Heavens, no.
You are not a retired banker.
Mm. I had a short time job, part time, at a bank, but no.
A short time.
Part time. Good lord, don't tell me that you're a Tory. You are a member of the Conservative Party.
Gentlemen. I was born in Phoenix, Arizona.
In the Wild West.
Yes.
Are you, sir, a cowboy?
My father was, and I couldn't stand it. I devoted my life to becoming part of the upper crust. I admired the way that you lived, and I wanted to become one of you.
Reginald, this sounds quite familiar to your story, except you actually succeeded.
Well, technically, yes, I did actually make it.
Right.
Father having worked with horses.
Right.
And punching cattle.
But you actually quite literally pulled yourself up by your bootstraps.
Literally, yes. It was rather difficult.
He had some very large bootstraps by the time he was old enough.
I was born with enormous forearms, luckily.
Yeah. Reginald, you are an inspiration to me. I mean, I've done my best. This is the most fancy get-up jacket that I could come up with, and short notice.
He did call it the correct thing. It is a get-up jacket.
Yes.
I've learned words like pensive and mahogany.
Yes, he has tried and struggled.
I think it might be healthy to have someone of his youthful disposition and outlook.
He could help us with our computers.
Very good.
Gentlemen, it is most irregular.
It is indeed irregular.
But
it's daring.
I think that with us around him, he could pass for a 74-year-old ex-banker.
It is possible.
I'm willing to give it a sporting chance.
Wonderful.
Sure.
That's fun. Next episode!
And that's our show. Thank you to Mike Dalaval, Andy Katsung, and Peter Butler for joining us. Thank you, Sensitive Men. You can see Peter Butler and Mike Dalaval perform with Jester's Comedy Improv. For more information, you can go to www.jcimprov.com, and you can see Andy Katsung at the Twin Cities Improv Festival and the Chicago Improv Festival performing with Crab Hands as The Score or The Herald. And you can go to www.TwinCitiesImprovFestival.com for more information on local and national acts that will be performing there, including The Score. He'll also be performing with A Night Out, along with me and a few other people, coming up in April and May at Huge Theater in Uptown Minneapolis. That'll be on Wednesday night. You can also see me upcoming Sundays in late March and early April at Improv-A-Go-Go with Cubicle. That'll be with Max Leibowitz, Josh Awind, and Kevin Albertson.
You can see me this Friday, the 15th, at the Friday Night Stage Match at Brave New Workshop Student Union. And I'm in a Battle of the Bands next weekend, Saturday, March 23rd. Buy tickets from me and help me win so that I get money and bookings and things.
And jobs.
Yeah. And keep in touch with Matt and I, Next at Bat on Facebook, Next at Bat Podcast at Gmail, and subscribe to the show through iTunes.
That's right. Go on to iTunes, rate and review, give us 5 stars, and get this podcast in your head as much as possible because it's funny. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next time.